You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. I'm Shazmin Shamsuddin, and in the studio with me, with regards to Autism Awareness Month, I have Dr. Hasna Toran, Senior Lecturer for Early Intervention Autism Assessment, UKM. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hasna.
Thank you for having me here and talk. Thank you for directing focus to autism this month.
Yes. So tell us, what is autism?
Well, autism, kids with autism, they have three major impairments. The first one is in communications, the second one in social skills, and the third one is they have stereotypical behavior, means when you see them, they might have behaviors that are repetitive and quite weird, like clapping the fingers, right, and spinning themselves around and rocking their body and playing with pebbles nonstop, playing with an object for hours if you don't stop them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is the ratio of increase in cases of autism in Malaysia?
Well, in Malaysia, there was a small study done in the state of Perak, and I'm not sure whether it really reflects the total population of children with autism. In the West, in the US, in the 70s, the ratio was 3 or 4 children in 10,000, and recently has skyrocketed to 1 in every 150 children.
This is in the US.
In the US. In Malaysia, the study in Perak says that there's 1 in every 600 children, but I'm not very sure about the methodology of the study.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how common is it, and what is the gender ratio?
The gender ratio is 4 boys to 1 girl. And how common it is now, you can say that almost every teacher now wants to know more about autism, because they are seeing children with autism more and more in schools.
Okay. Is it because now they're just aware that this problem
exists? You know, heightened awareness could be one thing, and methods in diagnosing and identifying them has been improved so much. But there are some people who are talking about factors in the environment that might cause to an increase in children with autism, mercury dumping in the environment, so on and so forth.
Okay, let's talk about the causes of autism. What are some of the issues?
Well, you know what? Scientists are still trying to investigate more about it. The international logo for autism is a piece of jigsaw puzzle. There are some pointers that scientists think might lead us to genetics factors, the environmental factors, as I said, and we are not sure yet. And to me, I have a child with autism. I can't wait for the scientists to come up with a cure. Mm-hmm. I need to know what to do now. And I believe that we in the educational world, there's been leap and bound of research in how best to educate children with autism. And I think that is the best hope for parents.
Okay. And you mentioned cure. Is it treatable?
It's not treatable, not at the moment. The government of the United States is pouring in billions and billions of dollars per year into autism studies. But I think we are not that near to an answer yet. But so far, research in education has shown that children can improve dramatically, not cured, but improve in terms of their quality of life if early intervention is started early.
Okay, so what does it mean, Dr. Hasna, to be on the spectrum?
Well, you know, that is one of the reasons why children with autism is rather difficult to diagnose and identify. The clinical term for autism is autism spectrum disorder. When we say spectrum, you know, child A might have problems with communication, not so with his social skills, but have very heavy stereotypical behavior. And child B might have something that is a mixture of that, you know. So each child is different, and that's why we need to look at them individually, their strength, their weaknesses, and that is why in special education we use what we call individualized education program. Each program must be tailor-made to each child.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the early signs you could look out for that a child could be autistic? I spoke to a pediatrician last week, and he said that signs don't show until perhaps after the child turns about 1.
Children in the US, if they are identified before their third birthday, they are not labeled with autism, but rather a more general developmental disorder, because to label them with autism is really rather
harsh.
It might create low expectation from teachers and parents. But research has shown that children with autism can be identified as early as 12 and 18 months. And some of the skills, the symptoms that they exhibit are lack of speech. If you compare them to their peers, you know, they might not be babbling. They are what you call the quiet babies. And another good sign is that they don't enjoy the company of their peers. And maybe they lack eye contact, and they might be oversensitive to sounds and smells and textures.
Yeah, textiles mm-hmm. as well, right? Yeah. So what should you do if you suspect that something may be wrong with your child?
You need to, if I believe that parents are the experts of their children. If you believe that there's something wrong, it is not a waste of time to take them to a doctor. And try to seek if it is something that we can identify and start treatment really early. And we don't really have medical professions who are really well versed with autism here. But I think parents now can educate themselves by mm-hmm. reading on the internet, books.
Yeah. I mean, this information is so readily available.
It is true, especially in Bahasa Malaysia.
Okay, so mm-hmm. which doctor should you see if you need to have a professional opinion?
You know, a general doctor, a pediatrician, but I believe that the doctor should be respectful towards you and your concern and your child, and the doctor is willing to work with you to investigate if your child does have autism. There are, you know, doctors, they know about some of the simple screening tools that can be used, such as the MCHAT, the modified checklist of autism in toddlers. Mm-hmm. Those are the tools that can be utilized by doctors.
Okay, could you tell us a little bit more about that?
It's a simple questionnaire.
Okay.
Questionnaire, and it has, I think, around 24 questions, and you can easily check through it. And at the end of the questionnaire, it will tell you if you have how many ticks, then you should refer your child for further assessment. First, you need to screen your child. And then if the result is rather worrying, then the next step is to have a full-blown assessment done. But over here in Malaysia, for a child assessment to be done privately, it's going to cost you something like 3,000 ringgit. So it's very mm-hmm. expensive for most families. And if you want to have it done in a government hospital, I'm afraid that there is a very long waiting list.
Okay, mm-hmm. right. So if parents do, you know, have this issue, where can they get their children assessed privately?
Privately, I think most private hospitals in the Klang Valley now have psychologists and psychiatrists who are well-versed about issues that children face during the first 3 years of their life. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how would you ensure an accurate diagnosis? Because, you know, a lot of the behaviors associated with autism are also shared by other disorders.
Well, the thing is, I'm not a medical doctor. Right. I'm from the educational sector. But I believe the diagnosis itself is not that important, you know. Mm-hmm. Recently, a mother came to me with a psychological assessment result of her son, and she told me, can you tell me what this means, because I don't understand. And the mother is very well educated, and yet she couldn't understand, like, what is the use of that kind of assessment?
Yes.
If the parents don't understand it and can't
use. It's in Greek, yeah.
Yeah, like in the educational sector, we don't use this diagnostic assessment. Instead, we go for what we call curriculum-based assessment. And after the assessment, we should be able to tell, to be able to know what is the next step to do. Okay, what are the weaknesses? What are the strengths? And where is it that the child is rather behind as compared to the peer? And how do we help the child with the skills that they are rather behind in?
Right.
And I would prefer those kind of assessment rather than an assessment that tell you that your child can't do this, it's not performing here, mm-hmm. and all the negative news, you know.
Right. So, like you said, that particular mother must have been quite devastated.
Yes, yes.
You know, how do you deal with a diagnosis like this?
That is, you know, not many people have children with autism. And when I first discovered that my child has autism, I went back to the usual people who usually offer me support, my family, my friends, but they don't understand what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And it was such a huge relief when I joined a parent support group, and these are a bunch of people who really are in the same boat. Mm-hmm. And we totally understand each other. And when you talk about parent support group, for me, I'm very keen to know how I could help my child. So when I find this group who is, you know, have the same agenda as me, it's such a huge relief. We share whatever information that we have. We share books, we share resources, and that really was a lifeline for us.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.